I reckon, to be honest, there's some things where you can't always translate things from the classroom right into the practical things. So obviously when you're in university, and I would say like a controlled environment, and you have students there, so everyone also kind of has a background already in knowing what to do.
Hello and welcome to the Prepare Like a Pro podcast. Make sure, if you haven't already, to subscribe to my YouTube channel to receive a notification and never miss a live interview. I hope you enjoyed this interview, and please share with a friend or a teammate that you think will value this episode. Let's go.
And welcome to the AFL High Performance Podcast for staff and athletes. My name is Jack McLean. I'm your host, and today I'm lucky enough to have Yoshi Sutherland, one of the Prepare Like a Pro Coaches Academy members, on as our guest. He's going to be actually our debut, which is a new segment. We had Salvatore on recently to share a footballer's insight about our academy, and today we've got a coach on. So Yoshi's got plenty going on at the moment. He's completing his Bachelor of Sports Science degree at Deakin University. He's assisting the Doncaster Football Strength and Conditioning Program, and he's also an intern at North Melbourne. So some great opportunities there that we'll shed some light on, and no doubt the listeners who might be studying at the moment, looking to get their foot in the door in elite sport and grab an internship opportunity, or perhaps a local football club community level, being able to run their strength and conditioning program. Hopefully you get some tips from Yoshi on how to land those gigs and get a bit of an insight. So thanks for jumping on, Yosh. Really looking forward to our chat, mate.
Yeah, no problem. Looking forward to it, man. All good.
Background, how you started in the industry. When did you find out your passion for it, and what ultimately led you to grab that opportunity at North Melbourne, mate?
Yeah, so just a bit of background. Born here, I lived also in Singapore in the United States. Got really into baseball for quite a few years. And then as I was in Singapore, I got into rugby sevens. And then through rugby, got into a lot of the strength and power work, and just really going to the gym with my mates at school and stuff, and working out after school, before school, during lunchtime even. And that sort of just sparked my passion. And then I came back to Australia University, went into sports science as a bachelor's degree. I also did sports science as one of my classes in the curriculum for high school. And yeah, and then from there, just did my first year of studying content purely. Then in my second year, I was still into rugby, still catching up with it. And then actually a lecturer, shout out to Kieran Lester, I just noticed he had like some rugby stuff going on. Like somewhere, I think, you know, I just saw like a logo on his backpack. Honestly, that's how this sort of S&C thing started. I just saw a logo on a backpack and I was like, oh, that's like a rugby team. And I literally just talked to him and he's like, yeah, like, are you interested in getting involved with the club? So yeah, and then he connected me with the head coach of the Box Hill Rugby Union Football Club. And then I basically helped out with their preseason conditioning that year, which must have been about 2022, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, so about 2022 through to, I would say, about June, July, August 2023, I was with that Box Hill Rugby Union Club. So that was like also my first placement, also like my first bit of experience, you could say, in terms of S&C. And that's where you really, I think, grow your soft skills, organizational skills, people, programming, etc., etc. Finished that off. Then had about trimester three break, about 2-3 months as well, between there, second year of uni, first half of my third year now, and got involved with North about in November 2023. Literally just applied and then had a cover letter, then had like an interview for about 20 minutes, waited about 48 hours, and then got accepted, got into it, the thick of things, preseason. So basically my role there is just to help out in gym, maybe help out with some testing such as counter movement, jump, isometric thigh pull, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, straight away you can tell you're more than comfortable with putting yourself out there, connecting with people. Yeah. For listeners, you know, you want to have that mindset. I think that, you know, don't just take for granted that a degree is going to land you that first full-time contract elite sport. You need to have a bit of nous about you. And that's something clearly you did with Kieran, which landed your first duty. I guess for listeners that maybe they've started year one of their sports science degree, or perhaps like yourself, they're doing strength and conditioning at a high school level and they're interested in being a sports scientist or strength and conditioning coach, high performance coach in the future. What was some of the surprises that you found in your first job compared to sort of the academic side of things?
I reckon To be honest, there's some things where you can't always translate things from the classroom right into the practical things. So obviously when you're in university, in I would say like a controlled environment, and you have students there, so everyone also kind of has a background already in knowing what to do, if that makes sense. And then whereas you go into like the local, let's say for me, it was a rugby scene. It was almost like you have to teach them how to do like certain movements, or like how many reps or sets they want to do, or like how long they have to run, at what pace, how many times, you know, how much rest should I be taking in between sprints? Like, how am I supposed to recover as well? So that's probably the big thing I would think, is you got to be adjustable, adaptable to like going into a local footy scene or whatever it is, a local sports club or anything like that. Got to be very adaptable, very communicative. You can't really be standing in the corner or anything. You got to be really, I would say the soft skills really matter. In my opinion, sometimes it can change from being 50-50, where you can do your programming, you can do everything correct in terms of your theory, your programming, your content-wise. But if you don't have that soft skills where you can talk to the blokes, you understand how they feel, it's not really going to help you out in that sort of sense where they might actually even listen to you. If that's, I think that's like a big thing. So you just got to be really adaptable. You got to be communicative. You just got to be out there and be open. Get to know the players more. Get to know your coaches. Talk to them. What do they want from their players? Because in rugby, you have different styles of play, right? You have teams that are a lot more contact-based, or you have teams that are a lot more open field-based where they need their players to be more aerobically endurance. But then there's teams that want to utilize their size. You want to get them to be a bit more bigger, stronger, and forwards and backs want to be a little bit bigger. So it's just sort of like understanding what the coaches want, understanding what the players want from you, as in like, do they want a more of a like simple thing, or do they want, are they willing to be, have a complicated program, et cetera, et cetera. So it's just sort of, yeah, essentially understanding what players want, coaches want. And yeah, I would say that's...
Well, that's it, man. Yeah, understand your environment. That's critical, knowing your context and what's going to engage the athletes and ultimately that buy-in. How, like you referenced, that's a good way to look at it. 50% of it is your planning and your preparation and giving them the best program to maximize their development. But ultimately, if they're not giving their all, the program probably doesn't matter too much. So that effort and that engagement, communication skills, soft skills, like you said, is so important. Yeah, great advice and great way to kick it off. What about the internship? No doubt that would interest a lot of students completing their bachelor's degree. You've done a great, you know, great job to be able to get yourself in the doors and actually see what's relevant, what's not at elite level. No doubt you've had some major learnings as well at the pro level that you're now applying it at Doncaster. Yeah. But I guess for landing that internship, why do you think you landed that role compared to no doubt the hundreds of others that went for it?
Well, I think it's a good question, actually. To be honest, sometimes to this day, I wonder what made myself stand out. Like sometimes I do question myself, just being purely honest. And maybe something that stood out to me was how I mentioned how I can be really communicative, and there's things called taking initiative, which I think really matters. So doing things that without being told is probably a big thing, especially in managing your time, self-organization. And to be honest, I think us as humans, we probably struggle with that all the time, you know. Sometimes we're not like doing things that we're supposed to do. I think I just mentioned I also come from a contact sport, so that might have some relevance of rugby and understanding what really strength and power is like made of. Yeah, so I think just having experience as well, and then really selling yourself on your key points. And maybe something, a big thing that I mentioned is like how I mentioned I'd rather look at the solution rather than the problem, and like a cover letter that I wrote for North Melbourne. I think that must have stood out for me. Just mentioned how my skills have developed, mentioning how I have these skills, and then providing evidence of why I would have those skills is a big thing. So I can talk what I want, but if I can't walk the talk, then it doesn't really, like, it's not valid, if that makes sense. So I mentioned how I have experience in strength and power programming, as well as a bit of conditioning programming, but I always have to mention that this is done through Box Hill Rugby Club, and then they can talk to people from Box Hill if they want to, et cetera, et cetera. For example, in preseason with Box Hill, we did some sessions at the Deakin Gym, helped out. Deacon helped us out a lot there. We did a bit of like circuit training and stuff. So yeah, I think it's just for those people who really want to land that internship, you got to really sell yourself. And it's like business, like prepare like a pro. You have to have a unique selling point. So you got to sell yourself. Why should you? Why do you stand out as well? I also have experience in multiple countries in sport. It's understanding culture as well. So there's just so many things that I think people can utilize, but don't utilize enough to like make themselves appealing.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, so was that process a cover letter and then from there you're accepted, or was there an interview stage?
Yeah,
the process of landing. So,
essentially, you have your resume and then your cover letter. And then your resume, obviously, you just put your experiences, your name, bit of background about yourself. And then your cover letter is more so composed of why you think you should be in this North Melbourne, for my example, North Melbourne Football Club internship. Like, why do you think you deserve it? Essentially, why do you think you should be part of this? And then provide evidence why, you know, any kind of argument that you're basically selling yourself, essentially. Yeah, that's, and then after that, I got shortlisted to do a Zoom interview with my manager over at North Melbourne, John Layden. Had about, I think, a 15 to 20 minute Zoom interview. So you get asked some questions here and there, just sort of like similar to like what your cover letter will like be answering, why you think you deserve this, et cetera, et cetera. Not necessarily deserve, but why do you believe essentially suit that role? Benefit would come out of this, like what would be your goal of yours essentially? Yeah, so, and then providing evidence of why you would think as well, I think is a big thing. That's really it.
Yeah, I think, yeah, definitely a good one for those listening in that want to land that internship. You made a good point about referencing your experiences, obviously talking to your strengths, whether it be the ability to travel, be adaptable and understand different cultures, different personality and that side, which clearly you've got, but also referencing that the practical experiences and scenarios that you've experienced is definitely going to be helpful for those that want to appoint you in a role. And no doubt was one of the reasons that you were appointed was talking to the Box Hill rugby experience. Was there any curveballs or anything that John challenged you with in terms of questions, or was it pretty straightforward interview-based questions?
To be honest, I think every question was a curveball, so I was that bloody nervous. Like, I was just like, it's just when you're talking to someone that's such a high level and then you have this great opportunity to even have a glimpse of a chance of getting into some sort of high level, it's almost like everything. But there wasn't really anything necessarily hard. It wasn't like something crazy where like, oh, what was the biggest moment of your life or something like that. It was quite simple questions. Yeah. You sort of give a introduction of yourself, and then from then on it's sort of like question answer, exactly like that.
Yep. And obviously you're part of our coaches academy. How did you first come to find Prepare Like a Pro, and what were some of the reasons that you decided to join the membership?
So first, definitely, I think I saw your programs through maybe some Instagram stories here and there. I mean, to be honest, there's also LinkedIn that really helps out a lot. I found out about yourself through LinkedIn, just trying to look for head of strength and power guys in the footy aspect. And then that sort of led me on to like finding out about Prepare Like a Pro. And then I didn't really know about the academy until like, I think I contacted you personally, just asking for some tips. And then you were like, and then I think when you suggested to join the academy, I was like, oh, okay. Like, then after a few weeks, I was like, okay, let's go for it. Joined in. Beautiful stuff, man. Really good stuff with like the Get Better plan, exercise selection, etc. Yeah, it's really good. I think especially for people that are looking something maybe footy specific, especially that, like, because even I've done a lot of like research or looking at YouTube, trying to look at scholarly articles, but that also comes with a bit of money as well, or like there's a lack of it, especially in AFL, because it's only in Australia. So I think it's real good that there's someone that one has experience from that VFL AFL level for a number of years as well, and then they're helping out more people. So I think that's like a big thing, that academy is like, yeah, it's just footy specific and it's just helping out from a high level. So
I appreciate it. Definitely the person in mind that I was when I created the Coaches Academy. Was something that I sort of wish I had when I was sort of doing my degree, they mentioned that practical side of things, and particularly for yourself, if you've got yourself in a program, so you're seeing, you know, firsthand what John's doing, you know, and the other guys in the performance teams, that you're getting that sense. You're also a player at Doncaster as well, so you've got that, where there's many, no doubt, listening that perhaps don't have those opportunities. So even more important to try and, whether it be joining a membership like ours, or just simply getting yourself involved in an internship or running a football club at a community level, it's so important to build up those practical skills. And clearly you've talked to that today on how it's putting you in good stead for these opportunities and allowing you to grow as a coach. For those listening in, if you're listening to the podcast, I'm happy to throw in a 30-day free trial as well, if you want to try it out and exactly like Josh mentioned, actually see what it's all about. Effectively, it's presentations, there's spreadsheets in there, and there's demo exercises all specific to high-performance sport and AFL. So head over to our show notes if that's interesting to you. But going back to Doncaster, mate, talk us about how that opportunity came about, why you decided to take on a football club. Clearly, the community sport does have a little bit of money with it, but when you throw in the fact that you're doing your sports science degree, you're doing your internship, which is volunteer-based, and you're working community sport, what made you decide to add an extra workload to already a busy schedule?
So essentially, important, I think, where you, even though I have this, let's say, professional level experience where my role might be just an intern. So it's just helping set up and helping out maybe some players with techniques and stuff. But also in our industry, I think you even know this through experience, where honestly, the more experienced, the better. Instead of waiting to do, like, let's say, another internship after I graduate from university, I'd rather have had almost 3 years equivalent of like experience by the time I finish university, because I would have a year with the rugby club, and then a year with North, and then a year with essentially East Doncaster. Also, I think it's a really good thing to just start from the bottom, because to be honest, I haven't had the most experience in footy. So my thought process was like, okay, I'd rather start from the bottom and then build my resume up, showing that I'm willing to start from that bottom area, and then really just build yourself up. So, and in terms of that, it's really appealing, I think, to employers. And from my perspective, my old man helps me out a lot in terms of getting as much experience as well. A lot of my thinking processes developed from my old man, played a big role in my life. Yeah, so just essentially, it's like having that short-term pain, but the gain is so much bigger. So, and like, funny thing, my old man always said short-term pain, long-term gain. It's it's such a simple saying, but it's such a true thing, where even though, let's say, these couple of months are going to be so busy, couple of months of hard work can just help you out so much in saving so much grief or whatever it is in the future of like trying to get a job, especially in our sector. Because in our sector of sports, experience fully is king. It, like, if we're being real right now, like, experience matters so much, especially if you're trying to go to a top level, especially footy. Yeah, so, and in terms of anything else, you've got to build your skills, you know. And I thought that if I join a local footy club, I want to develop even more communicative skills, because I think through different sports you get different personality types. I mean, there's of course different personality types among themselves, however, in rugby, you do get quite a bit of different, you get different world people. So I've met people from Fiji, Samoa, Tonga, England and everything. Whereas like people at footy I've met have been all more grown up in Melbourne. So you just sort of understand that bit. So understand how to talk to them, what you talk about, what they want. You understand what local footy's about, you know, it's about community. And yeah, it's really simple as that. The seriousness of East Doncaster was like quite high. I think local sport anywhere kind of gets the unserious sort of maybe atmosphere around them. Like people just like not there. When I first saw their training session, I was just really impressed. Where training started, I think maybe around 6 p.m. Most of the boys were there at 5:30, 5:40. So like to me, that's like really impressive, where I see that commitment. And when you see that commitment, you also want to commit yourself. You also want to be a part of that. they also have been a very successful club. I think they've got to the prelim last year in the EFNL. And yeah, I think that's just so many reasons that just like, I didn't really see too many cons of it.
Yeah. No, well said. I think that mindset of, like you said, short-term pain for long-term gain is so important in probably any pursuit of excellence. Yeah. But definitely, like you said, practical experience in our field is so important. The like big picture for yourself, like you mentioned, you're accruing as much experience as you can while you're doing your degree. When will your degree be finished? And ultimately, what's sort of the big role that you really want to work towards, whether you want to call it your dream pursuit or, what's the big picture? Where do you want to go with your career?
I mean, so in terms of content point, after, I think it'll be my first, last trimester of school starting about March at Deakin, I'll be completely finished with my content. And then I just need to rack up more hours. So officially I'll be graduated in maybe September or October, November area. And then after that, hopefully I can just build myself out at an AFL, VFL strength/power level coach. And then building yourself up with experience and hopefully having the skills and experience enough to be like a high performance manager at a high level.
Yep.
Kind of any sport, really. There's so many opportunities in terms of sports, especially all over the world, which I think is like a great thing to think about first, especially if you're really interested in getting a job in sport, especially sports science. You've really got to open your eyes to almost going overseas. Even though you've lived in Australia all life, the opportunities might be quite limited. It's just how it is. Yeah, I think that's just my goal. Yeah, to be a high performance manager, whether that could be something from my previous background in rugby, now where it's more footy focused. It could be basketball, it could be like anything, sort of just a high professional sport. Yeah,
so you're quite open to the type of sport. Sounds like field, sort of team-based sports.
Yeah, definitely.
Is the focus. And what roadblocks do you sort of foresee as the, what could hold you back from those sort of opportunities at the end of the year?
Yeah, I mean, so for one, I think that you just got to, there's so many things I can just, it could be something where you have to move another country or something like that. Or it could be something where like your degree doesn't go as well as planned, or there isn't really enough things available, like essentially job opening. So that could, I think that might be a roadblock that I might myself get into. Sometimes we're not all professional. So like we might not be, it could be just a bad day. And that bad day could just be sort of just like a continuum of like so many other things. So it's essentially, you know, you got to show up every day. And because that one good day can just help you out in the more and more years. So I think that's a big thing. Taking care of yourself, I think, would be a big thing. So like that could be not necessarily a roadblock, but that can definitely like be removed. So make sure you get your sleep, diet, exercise in. I mean, essentially that is probably the big thing. Job openings is probably the biggest one out of there. And then living daily life, you know, especially in our consistencies, you know. We should practice what we preach. So
we definitely, we've got to look after ourselves to be the best version of ourselves, sure. The big one that you mentioned there that I think will resonate with a lot of S&C, strength and conditioning coaches, Torrance staff, is the limited opportunities, and probably one that no doubt at some point in your career you're going to hear when you're in an interview stage. Well, firstly, it's probably making the interview stage is one phase of it, which by accruing the experiences you are during your bachelor's, by the end of your degree, you should be at a point where those high performance roles at semi-professional level, whether that be NAB League, VFL, you'll no doubt get an opportunity to present at that level by the sounds of it. So I think for those listening in, if you're just simply doing your bachelor of sports science degree and not getting experiences other than just the placement that the uni sets up for you, you'll be unfortunately surprised by the end of it that you don't even get the opportunity to make the interview stage, whether that be the top five, top three. And then the common one that I've certainly heard of a few times, and most listeners, when you're landing that first full-time role, that you don't have it. The person who got the role had more experience than you, or they had full-time experience in an elite program and so forth. And so that talks to about the openings that you mentioned. Obviously, there's a lot of people out there that are well qualified and going for the same role as yourself, and only one person can get it. We had a bit of a chat a couple of weeks ago about it, where you're clearly on the right track in terms of accruing as much experience as you can, but almost shifting that mindset of, if that happens to yourself, how can you influence your current roles that you're in, whether that be the same clubs that you're in now at North Melbourne, Doncaster, or perhaps different roles, going back to those clubs and seeing how you can maximise those opportunities, whether it be perhaps you were working with the main group, how can you now work with the rehab injured athletes with the medical team to get experience there? Perhaps it's bringing some sports science technology in for the first time at that club, so presenting to the board and experiencing that. So I think you've really got to think laterally on, it's not black and white. Don't just look at monetary value, but ultimately, how can you grow as a coach? I think is a really important one. Whether with new experiences, don't just keep doing the same thing, but current role that you're at, or what is the best role that's out there that you can land? So ultimately, putting yourself out there like you've done all the way through, Josh, is so important.
Definitely.
But yeah, thanks for sharing those roadblocks, mate. Yeah, not easy.
Yeah.
But I appreciate it. From a task management point of view, what are some of your ways that you help cope with a busy schedule? You mentioned the next couple of months are going to be pretty crazy.
Yep.
Obviously, Doncaster's going to go into practice matches.
Yeah.
Melbourne's gearing up for games.
Yeah.
So now it sounds like uni's ramping up as well. So what are some strategies that you put in place to help?
Honestly, like I think maybe late last year, a good thing to do is to just have a month schedule out for yourself. Write down what's going on. Put it on the fridge. Just see what's going on for that day or for that week. You know what's going on. I have a Google Calendar as well on my schedule that when I click on Google Chrome, that's the first thing I see. And I'm like, okay, now I know what to do here. I know what I'm going to do here. In terms of priority as well, probably North Melbourne is really, really important to me. Doncaster as well. Everything's pretty important. I wouldn't necessarily say there's like a ranking, because from my personal point of view, when you sort of do it by like ranks of importance, the more, almost like the less you care about something and the less effort you put in. So, and this is just a personal thing where I'd rather just have, give 100% at everything you got, whether it's work, your internship, even if it's at a local club that people might be like, oh, like, why are you putting in so much effort? It's like, you shouldn't really look at it like that. You should be probably looking at it as more like, okay, I've got this opportunity. Let's give it 100%. I think we've all had those days where we just like, maybe we're a little bit run down for something, and I've had those days. It's just something where you gotta, as I just said before, taking care of yourself, getting your sleep right, and then showing up on the day, even though you're tired, you just gotta show you're not tired. So just those sort of things where when you're organized, it helps you out a lot as well. Organizing time for yourself, or organizing time just to work out, or organizing something where, okay, I'm gonna be here by this time, I should probably leave at this time or something. Or if my internship, let's say, starts at 1, I should probably be there by 12:30, 12:45. So it's those little small things that I think, those small things all build up, and then you're almost sort of like progressing through there. So yeah, having that monthly calendar is a really big thing for myself. Knowing when work is as a swim teacher, because I teach kids how to swim as well. Knowing what days I'm going to be working, and then also knowing what times my internships are, organizing, okay, how much time do I need to be traveling in between here and there? And with university, obviously, you got to sit out your own sort of calendar where, okay, I got to work on this assignment at this time. You know, I think that's a big thing. Like, and I do believe in life. So if you have like a cluttered mind, you're like, your life almost becomes cluttered. It's so like, when you don't have like a clean, like everything else is not organized, your performance is probably not going to be at its peak. So like, yeah, and that's what I've learned. And being only 20 years old, you're kind of just learning that off the go, you know? So even though I might have it's such an honor to, you know, be an intern at North Melbourne, but I'm still 20, you know? So, and I've accepted the fact that I'm still growing up and we're all going to make mistakes. Just try to stay organized as much as possible. Having that calendar, having that balance of work and life as well. Yeah, taking care of yourself,
nice.
Things like that, yeah.
Yeah, well said, mate. There's a fair bit to unpack there, but yeah. I think some big takeaways for the listeners, no matter what you want to sort of, whether it be an S&C or even for athletes, but yeah, having a system in place that works for you from an organization point of view. You mentioned Google Calendar. I like to use the iPhone calendar, but in Segment, like you said, with all your different hats, whether it be work, social, obviously internship, university, all the things. So you can put 100% into those and have that mindset and rocking up early so you're well prepared. It was another one that you mentioned, which I think is really, really important. Obviously, the self-care, which has come throughout. Like one thing that I remember early days you think the higher level you are, you work at, whether it be intern work or professionally, that the athletes are going to be a lot more motivated. But at the end of the day, they're all relatively the same. They all want to play the sport, and they don't necessarily want to warm up for the sport. They don't necessarily want to cool down for the sport.
Yeah.
They don't want to do the lifting as much, and they certainly don't want to do a lot of the conditioning. A lot of the things that we're getting athletes to do, they're not necessarily wanting to do. They'll value it, but it's part of our role is bringing that energy and enthusiasm to the workplace, whether you're feeling it or not. And I think that's a great awareness that you have. It's easy to sort of rock up to a day and feel a bit sorry for yourself and tired for whatever reason, but find a way, whether it be jump in an ice bath, do some exercise, or get that extra bit of sleep in to maximize that energy that you can bring to your work. It's definitely going to go a long way into helping your staff out as well as the athletes, number one. So some great tips there. Really appreciate you sharing that. We're starting to wrap up the show now, mate. Great to have you on the podcast. For those that want to follow your journey, where's the best place to get in contact? Or perhaps they've got some follow-up questions for you, Josh, as well.
Connect with me on LinkedIn. I'm quite active on there. Just search up my name. As below, you can see on the bottom left-hand corner, I think it is. You can just see my name. Just look me up. Try to connect with me or message me. And I'm usually pretty active. I'll probably connect with y'all. I think you can see my email or something up there. So I think that's probably the best way to contact me. Yeah.
Perfect. Well, we can, for those listening to the recording, perhaps driving the car, we'll add Yoshi's LinkedIn profile link in the show notes. So you can easily click that when you park the car. And for email address, you mentioned that as well. I can add that in as well. So you can contact Yosh through there if you're not on LinkedIn. But that's probably another tip for coaches. Get on LinkedIn as soon as you can. It's definitely a great way to promote yourself and to network. So LinkedIn's the number one probably for S&Cs from a social media point of view. Thanks again for jumping on, mate, sharing with us your journey. Some great tips in there for sports science students, S&Cs. And like I mentioned, if you want to jump on the Propel Like a Pro Academy, it's $20 a month, but I'm happy to throw in a 30-day free trial to get a bit of a sense of what it's all about. Just hit me up on our social media or click the coupon link in the show notes. But thanks for tuning in, guys. Our next live interview is with Nick Poulos, the head of performance, which will be on Wednesday in 2 days' time at 4 p.m. Australian Standard Time. So make sure to pencil that one in your diary. If you've got any questions for us as well, feel free to hit me up and I'll try and add those to the run sheet. But thanks again, Josh.
If you enjoyed this episode and want even more, our academy is for you. The Prepare Like a Pro Academy is a platform that hosts exclusive features and bonus content, such as a Q&A segment aimed at getting to know the guests on a more personal level. Here's an example with Emily Meehan, head sports dietitian at Collingwood Football Club.
What are things that fire you up?
Oh, this one is always, I suppose it is, it'll be topical for most people, I think, but staying in your lane. And I often find that with nutrition, everyone eats, so everyone has an opinion. And I think that's what really gets me fired up, because so many people try and provide nutrition advice based on their N-of-1 experience when they did intermittent fasting or keto or whatever it might be. And then
game changes.
Game changes, whatever that might be. And look, it probably keeps me in a job, but that it does drive me insane. Because sometimes the information can be so detrimental and opposite to what I've been working with my athlete or athletes. And, and because they hear it on someone's socials or through a documentary, it unravels everything that I've been working with an athlete for.
Another feature of our academy is the opportunity each week to join myself as co-host on the Prepare Like a Pro live chat show. Here's an example with Academy member Rama Davies, the strength and conditioning coach at the Box Hill Hawks.
Welcome, Rama, to the chat. Rama has also worked at Box Hill, or currently he's working at Box Hill Hawks with us.
Awesome.
So he's another Box Hill man.
Love that.
In the strength and conditioning department. So I'll handle it over to you, Rama, to ask you a question, mate. Thanks for joining us.
Excellent. Thanks, Jack. And thanks, Sam, for the chat. It was I found it to be really insightful, plenty of gems in there. And I enjoyed it a lot. Mate, my question to you was, you spoke quite a bit about perspective during that chat. And I was wondering, what are some of the things that you either know or do physically that you wish you either knew or did back at the beginning of your career? What are some of those things?
Yeah, good question. Yeah, so I suppose with perspective on life, that sort of point, it certainly has been massive for me now, and didn't probably have that as much when I was younger. I suppose one thing I might mention is gratitude. I spend a lot of my time doing a lot of gratitude exercises, listening to podcasts, doing a journal every day just a bit to say what I'm grateful for, sort of three things. And that's a fantastic way that I've been able to, reset and just kind of gain that gratitude and perspective about, you know, that there is more to life than football, or, you know, might be whatever, as an S&C coach, you know, if something's, if you're having a hard time, it can be massive with just, opening your eyes a little bit and losing that sort of tunnel vision or being stuck in that work bubble. So that's been huge. I think I wish back then when I was younger, I asked more questions and was a bit more open to different things. I think I was a bit single-minded back then, and I thought there was one way of doing things, and if I kind of didn't have that fear of, you know, asking a silly question or fear of judgment, it would have got me a lot further and I probably would have learned a lot quicker. And being open to sort of different things, because you never know what you might find. It's just, there's so many people, like great people out there, knowledgeable people to learn off.
And there's plenty more where that came from. If you would like to learn more, then enter patreon.com/preparelikeapro or head to the link in our show notes. Thank you for listening to the Prepare Like a Pro podcast. If you like this episode, it'd be a massive help if you could like, follow, rate, give a review, or even share with your mates. The show is recorded in Melbourne, Australia. Be sure to follow our Instagram page for all updates on our latest and greatest. If you would like to get in touch to suggest a guest or advertise with the Prepare Like a Pro podcast, please email me at jack@preparelikeapro.com. Thanks so much for tuning in.